Good morning, all.
Hello, how lovely to say.
Lovely to see you all. All back in God's house, and you brought the sun with you too. Well done, keep it going. The observant amongst you might have noticed a shortage of musicians this morning. Let me start by saying it was not something I said. Everyone is off somewhere this week, which is fantastic, seeing families that they've not seen for a long time. But hooray for technology, we can still worship using the video. Just to remind you, we cannot sing out loud as yet, but there are many other ways that we can worship God, to worship our King. And you could speak the words of songs, you can dance, dare I say it, raise your hands, clap, stamp your feet. And if you feel like doing any of that, please just drop any inhibitions that you might have and just do it. And while I'm on that subject, I'm sure Joe won't mind me saying this, but if you have an ability to play any musical instrument or you enjoy singing, please do consider joining the worship band, even if it's only the triangle, and speak to Joe. Let's begin our service in prayer. Begin by taking a moment to settle yourself. We are in the presence of God. Become aware of your breath. Slow down. And take a few quiet and slow, deep breaths. Make yourself comfortable as you sit. Push away your roaring thoughts. Acknowledge them and then dismiss them. Make room for God's word. Joel 2 says this: "The day of the Lord is coming. It is close at hand. Like dawn spreading across the mountains, a large and mighty army comes, such as never was in ancient times, nor ever will be in ages to come. Do not be afraid, land of Judah. Be glad and rejoice. Surely the Lord has done great things. Do not be afraid, you wild animals, for the pastures in the wilderness are becoming green. The trees are bearing their fruit. The fig tree and the vine yield their riches. Be glad, people of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the autumn rains because he is faithful. He sends you abundant showers, both autumn and spring rains, as before. The threshing floors will be filled with grain. The vats will overflow with new wine and oil. And I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in these days. Amen." Lord, help us to look out and listen for your Holy Spirit. We welcome you with open hearts and minds. Call us, inspire us, surprise us and challenge us. Give us confidence and calm assurance. Lead us to your power and your love. Amen. Our first two songs today are back to back, and we begin with Be Still, followed by How Great is Our God. The words will be on the screen. Please stand if you are able. Please take a seat. Well, that will teach me to talk about technology, won't it? Sorry about that. I think Kathy's looking equally baffled, so there should have been a really nice video with that. Apologies, but at least we all knew the words, so that's good. Let's take a moment to pray. As I read this next prayer, please join with me to say, "We are truly sorry." The words will be on the screen, I hope. No? Never mind. I will say them for you. God of truth, we bring to you our sorrow for our sins, for seeking earthly absolutes and not eternal mysteries. We are truly sorry for rooting ourselves in the finite and not nurturing the infinite within. We are truly sorry for saying I much more than we and for damaging relationships. We are truly sorry. Forgive us and strengthen us, we pray, for we are truly sorry. Amen. Our Saviour, you choose to save, not to judge, to forgive, not to condemn, to turn towards, not away, to show us your nature and not to hide. You allow us to know you, to love you, and to serve you. And for all these things, and much, much more, we are truly thankful. Amen. David, where's David? Is now going to read the first of two Old Testament readings that I have chosen for today. This first one is from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. Thank you, David.
Exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." And then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And with it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." And then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I. Send me." Amen.
Thank you, David. That's quite a challenging reading, I think. And it's hard to imagine how overwhelming it must have been to go through such an experience. Isaiah said, "Woe to me, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips." Well, he knew full well how damaged and broken he was. And it was from that place of brokenness that he was able to volunteer himself for doing God's work. Here I am, send me. No one is too damaged for God's love. Anyone can be called to work for God from the deepest and the darkest of places. And this is the content of our next song, Rescue, sung by Lauren Daigle. Please stand if you are able. Thank you. So, I think we can all agree that the last 18 months have been really destabilizing and has shaken our foundations badly. Our futures did become uncertain, and it was and is really frightening. It has been for me. There has most definitely been a sense of living through an Isaiah 60 moment when darkness covers the earth and thick darkness is over the people. There has been and continues to be such profound grief across the globe for lives lost, for ways of living cut short. In today's first Old Testament reading, we can really feel Isaiah's overwhelming fear. And many, if not most of us, can identify now with that profound an emotion. Although the darkness has been profound, the call is this: arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. His glory appears over you. In Jeremiah 6, it says this: ask the Lord for the ancient path, where the good way is, and walk in it. And there you will find rest for your souls. Well, that is true. Yet we cannot stay in the past. We cannot go back to the life that we knew. We cannot waste all the things that we have been forced to learn in order to return to what is familiar, however tempting that might be. In Luke 5, 37 to 38, Jesus says this, familiar text: and no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the new wine would burst the wineskins, spilling the wine and bursting the skins. New wine must be stored in new skins. But no one who drinks the old wine seems to want the new wine. The old is fine, they say. I believe the old wine is not fine. It is just not good enough. Not anymore. The violent arrival of COVID seemed to provide us with an opportunity to remove obstacles which were impeding our spiritual growth and enable that new wine to flow. The apocalyptic aftershocks will continue for quite some time, but I am truly hopeful that we are beginning to see the early signs of a better way of living, with God right in the middle. Isaiah 43 says this: forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. And now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Well, the situation that we have found ourselves pushed into has made us think very carefully about what we are doing, why we are doing it, and when to do it. We all began to question, I think, what is really important for us. Our faith became even more important than it was before, being the strongest anchor possible, holding us steady in very turbulent seas. And yet for many of us, our emotions ran riot. And I admit personally to times of shouting at God, screaming at him in a complex explosion of fear, rage, and disbelief. How could this be happening? And that is okay. God has the broadest of shoulders. Thank goodness I can get out into the fields where I can't be heard. Jesus knows about all the sufferings that we experience. And as he prayed in those days preceding his crucifixion, he cried out to his Father in anguish, just like we do, that if it was possible, that his Father would take away the suffering that he was about to endure. Over this last devastating time, many of us have been aware of a subtle shift. A shift to being made more aware of God's glory, his presence in the midst of our lives and our worship. Do you remember last spring thinking, when did birdsong become so loud? We have been seeking his face in this darkness, desperate for light. Now we are climbing our way out of the darkness. We can glimpse once again a breaking in of the power of God. I'm going to take you back now to last week. You might remember it was Pentecost Sunday, which celebrates when the Holy Spirit came down onto the shoulders of the disciples and the world-changing outcomes that followed. Well, I'm telling you, radical things are happening right now. A new era is dawning, and God is looking for his children to come and step into his way. We will fall into step fully and joyfully with the Holy Spirit. If I had to say, which of the books of the Bible is my personal gem? I would say it is Acts. To me, it's a bit like reading a thriller. It is in this book of action that we see how the arrival of the Holy Spirit changes everything. We see how the body of the people are supernaturally fed with love. And their lives are changed as they lay down their personal wants and desires. They want to share everything. They are one in heart and mind as they accept the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. It creates this enormous unity that moves them out and together. They become genuine brothers and sisters prepared to lay down their lives for the gospel. Remember what Isaiah said at the end of that last reading, "Here I am, Lord, send me." So how do we become unleashed like that? Even though I referred to the book of Acts as a thriller, clearly it isn't. It is not a work of fiction. I believe that our God is longing to mobilize ordinary people just like you, just like me, to become participators, not passengers, activists, not consumers, armies, not audiences. The Lord is raising an army of believers just like us, who are searching and advancing together. Look around the room today. We are that army. God is moving his people in these days, and he is searching around the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. 18 months on, and everything we knew has changed, and we need to find our place in the radical reordering that is happening amongst us to accomplish his kingdom purposes on the earth. This is a divine rearranged. He's moving the furniture around, and his hand is moving many, many people. The Holy Spirit is moving in the midst of this dreadful darkness, and the Lord passionately invites us, his children, to ride the waves of his emergence as he reestablishes his order on earth again. Now think about this. As Christian Iranians have been forced out of their church buildings due to persecution, the disciples have been growing rapidly as the Holy Spirit has made them bold and equipped them through words, works, and wonders. And they are currently the fastest growing church on the planet. Please, Lord, will you make this happen here? When the Holy Spirit first came over the early church, they found themselves liberated, freed from literal chains, as well as the mental and emotional ones. They were made brave and empowered in their gifts and were unleashed into the world to see radical transformation in so many. Have you ever thought of this? Maybe we are still the early church. And I'm going to quote now the much respected former Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams. In answer to a question posed, he said this: "For all we know, we still are the early church." We mention so often the concept of being in the end times. We're used to talking about that. But how much more thrilling is it to consider ourselves as pioneers of the early church? We have so many challenges right now, obviously exacerbated by the pandemic. And I think this last year, so many of us have felt so desperately confused, and we've had no idea where this is all going to lead. Sometimes I feel it has been like being a victim of war, from poor mental health, grief, fear, physical ill health and spiritual warfare. We are a little different from that early church. Through the Holy Spirit, he is going to bring great healing and transformation onto earth again. Make no mistake, God is on a mission to wake up his bride and to save the lost. The harvest is plentiful, but I'm going to change this word now. The workers are not few. They are not few. Let me explain. The Christian faith across the globe is thriving. But maybe even in this room we're thinking, not in the UK it isn't. Well, I'm going to correct you. The pandemic brought a massive influx of people online searching for guidance, for an explanation of how to pray and what is this Christian faith. And churches have jumped in and done a fantastic job in cultivating and supporting these people. And I have no doubt that this will continue. But very locally, I just want to tell you what happened in this church, in case you weren't aware. In Advent, A number of us put together a project where one person a day from this congregation would read a reflection that was written principally by myself. They were short, between 1 minute and 2 minutes. They were sassy, they were real, they were from people's homes, with all the mistakes that human beings make. That started on December the 1st and finished on December the 6th. We started the first day and we had 600 households watching. By day 5 we had 5,000, and then by day 12 we had 20,000 people a day watching those. And they went right the way through. They didn't drop away. They stayed with us the whole course. People are watching and listening. And it's just a way that we are not familiar with. But the church is growing. Be assured, the church is growing. I mentioned earlier, the workers are not few. Let me explain that one. Workers are not just those who hold some position within the church, be it administration, leadership, technology, cleaning. It isn't just them. Everyone here, all Christian people, are workers in God's army. We all have work to do. Whether we pray, act, speak, we all have a responsibility to do so in God's name. But as a personal aside, if there is anyone here who wants to help with administration, with technology, with cleaning or leading, please let us know. We always need more volunteers for all our projects, like the Next Door Cafe, the Lantern Cafe for our adults with learning disabilities, Open Mind for people who are struggling with their mental health, and Illuminate for our youth. We need more people for technology too. The call is simple. We are to position ourselves as the early church did, in the equivalent of that upper room. We need to press into prayer, invite the Holy Spirit to move amongst us, to expect signs and wonders. Ask the Lord to lead us on, to show us other hungry disciples that we can walk beside and to share the good news of the Gospels with. Spirit, I ask you, lead us, we pray. Much has changed. Much more must change. And much more needs to change. We cannot cover over the cracks that have been exposed in our society, whether it be climate change, poverty, and the horrifying spectre of racism. We must build a new thing. The church itself has been forced to change. What might have taken a century or so to change has been changed in a moment. We can do it. To follow Jesus Christ is to change. Think of those very familiar words. Repent. Be transformed. Renewal of our minds. All of these require change. Jesus is the ultimate revolutionary of hearts and minds, of society, the creator and the instigator of all change. Now, we all feel differently, I know, from each other about change. Some despise it, some can't get enough of it. And what we usually do is just gather with others who have our same point of view as ourselves, rather than working things through together. I'm going to ask you, we need to be self-aware to work it out. What is it that we are so committed to that causes us to either embrace or resist change? That's important. Then we must apply the call of Jesus to put others before ourselves. To love others is to change. Love is absolutely everything. It does conquer all, ultimately. Change is disorientating, I know that. But I truly believe we have more reason to be hopeful than any other people. Forgive me for boasting, but I think that is true. We know for sure that God is for us. He is not against us. And he goes himself in front to lead us. We can stand for certain, not on our own abilities, not on our own wisdom or our own gifts, but on his grace and his presence. Let's pray, please. We pray that we each find our own place and take personal and collective responsibility for the changes that must be made. Give us the confidence, God, and insight to base our changes upon. Help us to explore more deeply the changes that we are yet to experience. Feed us with your many gifts of imagination and creativity, tenacity and insistence, openness and unswerving commitment. Help us to be obedient to your word and the promptings of the Holy Spirit. In the face of this challenge, we can have complete faith, hope, and joy. For in him who was, and is to come, we have all we need. Amen. We have a new hymn to sing. I did put it on our Facebook page a couple of weeks ago, and I think a couple of my people might have seen it. It's glorious. New words to a familiar melody. Please stand if you can to enjoy, hopefully, We Seek Your Kingdom Here. Tala is now going to lead our prayers for others.
Holy Spirit, I surrender to you today my thoughts, my understanding. What I don't know, bring it to my understanding. What I don't know, make it plain to me. I yield myself to you. Help me to pray effectively. Let Europe, Middle East, enjoy the revival. Let all the door of hindrance to worship of Christ be broken. Let there be harvest of souls. Let them be open to hear the word of the gospel. We pray for our Prime Minister, for all members of Parliament, that they will not be influenced by darkness. We rescue their soul from demonic controls. We ask God to touch the hearts of world leaders, to become influencers of righteousness in their nations and the world at large, that their mind will not be controlled by evil. Holy Spirit, fill them up, we pray. Deflect any demonic attack against our leaders that may seek to twist their minds and distort the destinies of nations. Lord, expose them to the right influence. O Lord, let the rule of yours dominate in their heart. Overrule any demonic agenda in these countries. God, we pray for persecuted Christians worldwide. We ask God to strengthen his servants and deliver them from harm. Shut the eyes of their enemies, not to be able to see them in their hiding places. They will be protected from harm and danger. Lord, in a world where peace is your will, seems so far from our grasp, we ask you to help us to seek out opportunities to work understanding and tolerance between people of different religious backgrounds, different social backgrounds, different racial and political backgrounds. We pray especially that religious views will not lead to bitterness and hatred between us, your children, whom you so love and with whom your patience and tolerance is boundless. Today, Lord, open our eyes that we may see your image in everyone we meet. Open our ears that we may hear your word in the words that others speak, and open our mouth that we may speak your gracious word of love to those who path we cross. Now it is time for us to pray for our family, for God to turn things around for them. A turn around means a miracle. So we ask the people who have got financial problem, family problem, people who need healing. So we give 1 minute to pray before I finish the prayer. Jehovah, Eli, 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 Elohim. You are the God of healing. You are everlasting, ever living, ever gracious Father. Our life and our future, you are the God of yesterday, God of today, God of tomorrow. Everything belongs to you. Our children who are starting school, who are in school far away, God Almighty, continue to protect them. Their future lies in your hand. I pray for healing for all members of our church, for Nikri, for Dawn, daughter of Jacqueline, ever gracious Father, Holy Ghost power may it descend into their body, purify their soul, purify their system, purify their brain, all the organs within their body, because we know you are the God who heals. We believe in miracle. God, your promise upon this church, your promise upon this church, God, come and fulfill it. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven.
Say it out loud, Tom. Say it out loud.
Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,
thank you, Tyler. Thank you for your words today. Our final song. Oh, I beg your pardon. I nearly missed you. Nearly missed you. Anthea is going to read our very short second Old Testament reading from Isaiah today. Chapter 43, verses 16 to 21.
This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland, to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. Amen.
Thank you, Auntie. I'll try this again. Our final song today is, I think, a real treat, a real joy. It's the Makaton Blessing UK. If you can sign, please do. If you fancy having a go, please do. Just stand and enjoy. God of grace, it is our delight and our devotion to give these gifts to you. All we are and all we have are yours alone. Accept this joyful offering as a token of our abiding love. Use it to bring peace, justice, and comfort to all the world. Amen. I bless you today. I bless you for tomorrow. And I bless each moment of your lives through the Holy Spirit and through our Saviour, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. May God give to you and to all of those you love his comfort and his peace, his light and his joy, in this world and the next, and the blessing of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you always. Amen.